Probably. Maybe. But, Linda has three pans, cinnamon rolls, caramel rolls, downstairs. So, Bob, would you see a prayer, please? No, actually, what I have today is going to be a little bit shorter, but hallelujah. This morning, I've actually been pondering today's message for 2 weeks, because I did the week prior to last Sunday, and then we were gone, and so Tim was here, and I have the whole week, and then this morning as I was sitting at home, it was a fun morning, just a really fun morning. How many of you guys get those mornings where you just kind of get lost in your Bible reading or your prayer time or your meditation, and getting out of the house by 8 in the morning is usually pretty easy for me. That's not a big deal. So there's a lot of days I'm out of the house before that, like 7 or earlier. So 8's kind of like taking it easy. Well, I took it way too easy today. I was late for church. Hallelujah. But anyway, as I was pondering, God dropped some things in my heart that I want to share with you, just some thoughts. And like I say, I'm not going to go too long, but you got open to those passages of Scripture. And folks often ask, like when Diana and I go away, how our trip was. Actually, it was incredibly rich. It was massively wonderful. She and I personally, as a couple, we had a glorious time. We just had a beautiful time. Now, this sounds all kind of weird, doesn't it? Because her stepmom had passed away. That would not be the place to make a joke. I'm keeping it to myself, you guys. Okay, just be all right with me. But anyway, we had a beautiful time. And one of the sweet things was her stepmom, Marilyn, is a born-again believer. Knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So she's in heaven. And it's actually really a precious thing because she'd been bedridden for about the last 6 months with bed sores and stuff like that. And just existing and really pretty uncomfortable. And so we went back a lot to be with Diana's dad. And this is kind of crazy, but Eugene, Diane's dad, and Marilyn, this is their second marriage, were married 40 years. And Eugene was together with Diana's mom for, 25 years? 21 years. So, I mean, they had a beautiful life, and it was really cool. I asked Eugene, I said, well, how'd you meet Marilyn? And he had been through a divorce, and Marilyn had been through a divorce, and there was this thing in Sioux Falls for couples that had been through divorce or single people, and they both happened to be there. And it's just cool to listen to somebody who's 92 years old saying how he met his wife, and then he goes, and this is way out of character for Eugene, but it's like, it was love at first sight. It was just so fun to listen to him. But we had a great time, and then it was rich. It was good to watch her dad just be loved on and walk through a difficult time in his life. But knowing that Marilyn is heaven is good. And it was great that Diana and I could be there and her brother Stan. And just, it was wonderful. So thank you for understanding. Thank you for all the prayers. And it was a rich trip. It was a very rich trip. And I think about the scripture where it talks about honoring your father and your mother. And this is part of it, to help to take care of. That's part of it. And it can involve finances, you know, to head back there and go, that costs money. That's just part of honoring our parents. That's one of the things we do. And they have blessed us in so many ways, and it's good that we turn around and bless them. Amen. So, you're open to those two passages of Scripture, Luke 6 and Mark 3. Hallelujah. Luke 6. Really familiar for me anyway, and probably familiar for a lot of you because I read them often. So, Luke 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The reason I'm at this passage of Scripture this morning is because I want to talk about foundations, and I have talked about foundations a lot, and my message is actually going to shift a little bit, and I won't talk about them as much, but I want to put this thought out to you. How many of you know foundations shift? How many know foundations will move on you? This last week, I had to spend about, it was a half a day or so, but our deck, we have a deck around our house, and they put that good man-made material on it, that stuff that's super, super heavy, and the weather doesn't affect, and you don't ever have to paint it or stain it. That's what was on there. But our deck, over the years, there was one side where I had to lift it up 2 inches. It had settled that much over time. There was another part, and Mark noticed it one time when he drove into the yard. He goes, you're going to have to do some work on your deck, aren't you? Because in that place there on that side, Mark, I needed to jack that up 1.5 inches. Just the concrete pillars that are in the ground that the 4x4s are sitting on had sank that much. You know, our foundations will shift. And one of my challenges for all of us, is to examine our foundation of why we believe what we say we believe. You know, and if it gets to that point in this coming Wednesday, I'd just like you to think about it for those of you that are in the home Bible study fellowships. Start making, why do I believe what I believe about marriage? Why do I believe what I believe about finances, about raising children? Take a subject matter, and why do you believe what you believe about those subject matters? Because here is a truth, and it's just been in me for a while. We want to look at our foundation. We want to look at what we believe and why we believe what we believe. We want to question ourselves and then invite the Holy Spirit to come in and question us as well. Because, you know, sometimes if I'm going to ask me a bunch of questions, I'm going to make sure I know the answer before I ask the question. But you know what? The Holy Spirit will ask us questions that'll make us think and to look at our foundation. And here's something that we can be guaranteed of simply because we live in this world. Our foundation will be tested. Life will just challenge our foundation. It will. You know, and I'm pretty sure of this. You want to be ready. You want to withstand the storm that comes your way. You want to be able to handle it. You want to be able to take it on. You don't want your life to be ruined. You don't want your life to be destroyed. And can I just tell you something? Your life is way too important. Your life matters way too much to have any idea the significance of your life in this world. Wow. See, we don't see that whole thing, but how many of us can take it by faith? How many of us can grab a hold of the fact that my life matters? Well, What's your evidence for your life matters? What's the foundation of that? Your life matters. How about the Word of God? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are His works. He has days fashioned for you before time began. He's got plans and purposes for you. The church, us, plus other believers all around the world, we are the ground, the pillar, the mainstay of truth in the world today. You take the church out, and you just took the ground, the pillar, the mainstay of truth out of the world. What do you think is going to happen then? Oh man, I tell you what, we matter. Your life matters. And just to that. Just to that, there's people who forget that their life matters and they wonder, what difference will it make? Who will even care if I'm around? Who would care if I was gone? Who would notice if I wasn't here? Why do you think there's such an uptick in suicides? Because lies like that get into people's head. They think that they don't matter. They think that their lives aren't important. That's garbage. Everybody's life matters. Everybody's life's important. What is the foundation of your life? Look at it. Look at it. Check those things out. Why do you believe what you believe? Now, in these verses of scripture here, verse 47, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them. Just go ahead and say, and does them. Maybe kind of highlight that underneath, you know, put a marker there or something. And does them. How many of you know all of these things are important? Whoever comes to me. How many of you know it's important to come to Jesus? How many of you know it's important to hear his sayings? But how many of you also know coming to him and just hearing his sayings and doing nothing with them really isn't going to have a great impact on your life? It's not going to have the effect that God wants it to have. Whoever comes to Jesus and hears his sayings and does them, say does them, and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man who dug deep. Everybody say dug deep. How many of you have ever dug deep? How is it to dig deep? It depends on what you're digging in. But digging deep, I mean, I'm excited about our church building and what's going on out there, and there's more stuff, and we'll be talking about that in the future. But there's a place where the poured cement walls were up against part of the dirt and the rock wall, and we have to put in there what's called drain tile. And that is tile that has, it's a round pipe that has holes in it so water can go in, and then it carries the water out from the basement, the foundation of the house. So you got to put that in. Well, part of the wall was so close to the poured wall was so close to the wall that was there, it had to be chipped away to have enough room. Well, Matt could do it. Matt Heskin could do it. Or he said, you know, you can do it if you want. Well, I'm less expensive than Matt is. So I thought, I'll do it. I had to go file my pick. I did. I got my grinder out, and I ground the tip of that pick to get it nice and sharp. Because guess what I was digging in? Rock. It was shale. Chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. But I guarantee you, our church out there, it's sitting on rock. Man, and it's getting to settle in. It is getting solid. But guess what? It takes some work. It takes deliberate action to dig deep. One of the ways that we dig deep is to dig deep in the Word of God by reading it, by studying it, by being in it, by finding out what it has to say to it. But another way that we dig deep is by doing. If you want to dig deep, do what the Scripture says. Now, going to kind of shift gears here a little bit. Go with me over to my next passage of Scripture. I just found this interesting, and so I'm going to share it with you. Mark chapter 3. And, you know, when you're doing your Bible reading, how many of you have ever heard people tell stories about Bible reading where they say, well, I just took my Bible one day, and I flopped it open, and I found a verse. You know? And Bible reading can kind of be all over the place. You know, no pattern. But I'd exhort you also, have a pattern in your Bible reading. Take a particular book and read through that book. Just read through that book. And one of the things that'll happen, like just happened for me, I'm reading through the book of Mark, and it's like, oh man, I just read this scripture. Where is it? Anybody ever forget where scripture is? Oh man, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where have I been reading lately? Oh, I've been reading in Mark. Was able to go find it. That's one of the reasons it's just good to find a book. Find a place in the Bible and read it. Because you're going to also help, it'll help you remember where you're reading. I'm in the book. I mean, if you know it's in the book of Mark, you just narrowed it down a lot. Amen. It just, where your searching area is, just got a lot smaller. But I want to read this to you. Verse 33. We'll back up to verse 31. Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And the multitude was sitting around him. And they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered and said to them, who are my mother or my brothers? Wow, interesting question. And he looked around in the circle at those who were about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Hallelujah. How fun it is to, man, get to be. But I just thought that was interesting. Whoever does the will of God is my mother, my brother, my sister. Did you notice there's just something about doing? Doing. Whoever does. Now, I want to do something here, because if we're not careful, guess what we can get into really quick? We can get into works program. Oh, well, if I want to be in the family of God, I better do some works. You know what? Way too much of the church world believes that. Okay? It's out of order. So this Saturday, when we were at men's prayer breakfast, we were over reading in the book of Ephesians. So go with me, if you would, please, to the book of Ephesians. And believe it or not, I'm really close to finishing. Ephesians chapter 2. I saw something there, and it ties in with this, and I just want to make it clear. And then it also ties in with Tim Davidson's message. Ephesians chapter 2. I don't know about all of you, but the verse of scripture that I'm going to look at here was, this is the crazy thing about the Word of God. How many of you know God's Word is alive? It is living. It's powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. The verse of scripture we're going to look at in Ephesians 2 verse 10, I've had memorized for over 35 years. I've taught on it I don't know how many times. It was one that I learned before I ever went to Rhema. It became a core. It became a foundational. It became a go-to scripture for me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And the tenses are good in it. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I've known this verse, had it memorized for over 35 years. Probably getting, 35 years, maybe a little bit longer. Probably had it memorized before Diana and I got married. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand. Now, I don't know how many of you were here last week for Tim Davidson's message. I just saw his notes and got to visit with him a little bit. But when I read his notes, it sounded kind of interesting, because he was talking about all the things the four Gospels don't reveal. You know? In order to... those things, you find them over in the epistles. Let me say it this way, because some of you are nodding your head, and I know you were here last week, but could we put it this way? The four Gospels show us Jesus' actions. The epistles reveal the results of Jesus' actions. Is that a good way to say that? Okay. You don't read a lot about who we are in Christ in the four Gospels, but you sure do in the epistles. That's the results. That's the results. Jesus said this. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Who are my mother, brother, sisters, but those who do the will of God? See, you can get caught into that works program from that, really, really easy. But notice something in this verse of scripture. Notice what it says first. For we are. Say are. Is are now? Are is how it is now. For we are what? His workmanship. So what are you? Who are you? Now, is that how it is? Is that bottom line? Is that down foundation? Now, is that what everybody tells you? Is that what the devil tells you? Is that what your report card tells you? How many things will tell you you aren't who he says you are? There's a bunch of them. Actually, you know what? We're surrounded by things that will tell us we are not who God says we are. Because we live in this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. And we got all kinds of things telling us who we're not. There's an order here. This is what I saw Saturday. There's an order here. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. What comes first? The good works? Let me just say this. The more we grab a hold of the workmanship that we are in Christ Jesus, the more we will see ourselves capable of doing the good works. See, a lot of people are trying to do the good works to be his workmanship. Mm-mm. How many of you, if you had a fireplace, and you know it's that time of year, we're starting up our fireplaces and we're doing that, and you got this fireplace here, and you go, man, I'll tell you what, as soon as you start putting out some heat, I'll throw some wood in. Wouldn't do it. Put the wood in. Put the paper in. Put inside of you who you are in Christ. Put inside of you the truth of who you are in Christ. You are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. Francis, would you be about ready where we could play that video? And then everybody, just keep your video. Francis and Kenny are doing such an awesome job. I am so grateful. Hallelujah. And then Kenny, will you get the lights when Francis is ready to play this? I just like the song. Lisa Parsons sent me a fix for that, or a note hook up to it, and I just thought it was awesome. I believe what he says of me. What do you believe about you? What do you believe about you? I believe what he says about me. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I'd like to encourage you this morning. Spend time in the epistles. Spend time in the epistles, allowing the revelation of what Jesus did for you to be real in your heart, to be real in your life. Amen? And then an interesting thing will happen. You will see yourself capable of carrying out the will of the Father. You will see yourself capable of doing what the Father has for you to do. Amen? Let's not get the cart before the horse. Amen? Let's make sure we're filling ourselves with the truth. Filling ourselves with the truth. And when those storms of life come, we'll withstand them. And see, the thing is, how many of you saw this on the news? The hurricane that just took place, the big old storm that hit in the Gulf of Mexico, the Panhandle. Did you see that? Did you see the one special on that one house they did? It's standing, and I mean houses around it. You can see the foundation. They're leveled. They're just flat leveled, and most of them is gone. There is some debris still laying on top of the foundation, but that, they're gone. And Neil Cavuto did a long interview with the guys that built that house. You know how much, percentage-wise, how much more it costs to build that house that withstood that storm as opposed to the houses that got blown away? The percentage of how much more it cost is 15 to 20% more. That was it. Neil Cavuto was thinking it was going to be 50 to 60% more. And did you notice something? Let me just go to something. Back in Luke. Just back in Luke. And I'm going to quit with this. You taking something with you today? man, you got lots of options. You got lots of options. You got a lot of stuff to take. You can take stuff with children's ministry. You can take stuff with mentors. You can take stuff with you today that people shared one-on-one just in conversation and greeting each other and encouraging each other. And then Linda just slipped out and went downstairs, and she's making sure those, you see, you got all kinds of things you can take with you today, man. But I just want to, just this here. I've always found this interesting. Verse 48 again, Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 48. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard, can I ask you a question? The second guy, he heard, didn't he? He heard. Everybody say, he heard. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built. That's interesting. Did this guy build? He did build, didn't he? He built. How many of you in here are building? You're building right now. You know, Isaac and Colleen, you're sitting right here. You guys are building for your marriage, building for your family. You know, building for years and years to come. Right now in the process of building. And when a couple first gets married, can think about that more and more and more. Have any couples in here ever kind of slid away from the foundation? Slid away from those things that were important? As a pastor and working with couples, one of the things I've noticed is it happens so subtly, it happens so gradually, is a lot of couples, somewhere between 8 and 12 years, find themselves just kind of being two people living in the same house, occupying the same space, going through the stuff that you have to go through for life, jobs, children, da-da-da-da-da. And that passion, that relationship somehow slipped away. You know, that's when you got to go back and actually before that, but re-examine that foundation. What was it that caused us? Oh, jeez. I remember going through that. I don't know if Diana went through that or not, but we talked about it. I remember going through it. So we deliberately looked at the foundation of our relationship. And you've heard me, how many of you have ever heard me say, it's our date night. We got a date night. We got a date day. We put that back in. Amen? And we've gotten checked out. You've heard me talk about how Diane and I, we don't have our phones in the restaurants. You know, we don't. We're not. You remember back in the 50s, it was the two couples and he had the newspaper up and she's sitting there, nothing to do? Boy, you can go into the restaurants now and you can see it both ways. Here, I've seen it. Or the gal is just, and he's got his face buried in his phone. Wow. Sometimes whole family, sometimes just one, but wow. So I have this rule. When we're on our date night, the phones don't show up on the table. And we walked into Olive Garden, I think it was, one of the restaurants outside of the mall, and we had a beautiful dinner. It was a great time. Got out to the car, and I left my phone in the car, and I looked at it. I had a message, so I thought I would listen to it, and it was Sherry. Yeah. And her message said this, Pastor, we just saw you and Diana walk into the restaurant, and this is just a simple test. I wanted to see if you would answer your phone or not. Do you remember that, Sherry? You don't. Well, I do, because I was the one that was, you know, I had a test to pass. And, you know, I just thought, oh, but we do that. So we go back and what's that foundation? Everybody's building. And with that house, 15 to 20% more. Is that a lot? You catching it? 15 to 20% more. How much more? In relationships. In raising children. But don't get caught up into a works program, amen? Don't get caught up into a works program. Notice this one here. Verse 29 again. But he who heard, did this guy hear the word of God? Yep, he did. What did he do with it? What did he do with the word that he heard? He didn't do anything with it. He didn't do anything with it. But he who heard and did nothing, he did nothing with the word that he heard. What are you going to do with the word that you hear? And the word that you hear, a big part of it is to, I don't know what caught Cherry funny, but it's, you ought to let the rest of us in on it, please. No. Anyway. Well, that's true. That's true. But anyway, hallelujah. He who heard and did nothing. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep. Folks, go ahead and dig deep. Check out your foundation. Go examine it. Anybody in here ever buy a new house and you have somebody come and inspect it? What do? They climb all around that thing. They look in the attic. They look all around. They check the foundation. They see if there's water running in, all kinds of things. They see if there's cracks in the cement. They'll check all kinds of things out. Hallelujah. Will you do me a favor? Will you look at the person next to you and ask them where they're going when they leave this world? Amen. How many of you getting to ask somebody where they're going when they leave this world? Because how many of you know we're all leaving this world? Woohoo! How many of you are looking forward to that day? I mean, I'm loving what I'm doing. I'm so happy with what I'm doing. But I am not going to mind the day when I leave this world. Because like that, I'll be in heaven. Wow. Wow. Or in the twinkling of an eye, that be changed, be caught up to in the air to meet the Lord Jesus, along with all the saints who went on before me. Either way, it's good. Either way, it's good. And I like what Mike Warnke said. He was a Christian comedian years ago, and he said that he was going to, as far as the rapture goes, he's going to paint "I told you so" on the bottom of all his shoes. I don't know if you're going to take them shoes to heaven or not, but I like the thought. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I just worship you. Worship you and thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you, Father, that you love us. And God, I just pray this right now. That is so true. Father, I think there's people in here, it seems like, who have a hard time admitting and accepting they are your workmanship. Tempted to look at actions, tempted to look at failures, tempted to look at shortcomings, and base their faith on their actions, base their faith on what other people say, instead of basing their faith on your word. Instead of believing they are who you say they are, God, I pray right now in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit, you work extra, extra in their hearts, extra in their mind. Flood them with light. Flood them with light right now. Flood them with revelation right now, right now. Father, bring scriptures back to their remembrance of who they are. Bring back to their heart and to their mind those moments in time when you spoke to them. When you came into the room and you made your presence real. Scriptures that were read and the light got brighter. Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, power of the Holy Spirit, speak to hearts. of who they are. And I believe you do it more than just this moment in time right here. But Father, you do it in the days to come, in the weeks to come. And Father, each and every one of us finds ourselves more and more and more walking in the truth of who we are and what Jesus has done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah.